Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time, we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
How about it? It's still raining. It's still raining, but happy Friday out there. September 13, 2024 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Times have changed. And I know we had, like, some flash flood warnings around the area. Kids in Shelby County schools and all the local schools getting off for basically a half day for inclement weather for thunderstorms. It's different times. Different times.
Good for the kids. I'm not going to be old man yelling at the clouds. Good for the kids.
Participation trophies. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do all that. But seriously, that is kind of wild. That's something that never happened to me growing up.
I seem to remember there were a few times where we got out because of inclement weather that wasn't snow.
Yeah, but it's not stopping. It's not stopping.
No, I love it. Keep it coming.
Really?
Yeah, I love the rain.
Okay.
Love the rain.
Now, we have 2 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM ESPN. And yours truly, we're going to open on Thursday Night Football because, I mean, it's a night from hell for Tua Tagovailoa. Bad, bad performance, and then it ends with what we have become all too used to. Another concussion, his fourth in 5 years, dating back to when he was at Alabama. And when he gets one, it's just so scary. His arms curl up. He seems to be unconscious on the field. And we need to have a real conversation. I know everybody's giving their take. I'll give you my complete, unadulterated take on that. But we'll also talk about the Bills last night because I'm going to be a full football guy when I talk about the Bills and what they were able to do last night. I think their downfall, because of all the, you know, movement that has been made around that franchise the past few years with guys leaving, I think their downfall has been greatly exaggerated. Don't you think, Connor? I think their downfall's been exaggerated.
I think so. Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about college football week three. We have, you know, it's a big week for Memphis, not just because of the Florida State game, but there's a couple of other group of five schools that had massive power five games. We had one last night with Texas State. They ended up dropping one to Arizona State. Shout out to Kenny Dillingham starting 3-0 at that place. Arizona State is pretty impressive at this point. But we also have UNLV in Kansas tonight. So big week, not just with the Florida State game, but outside of the Florida State game for the group of five, and that definitely affects Memphis. As far as guests are concerned, we're going to go ahead and have David Cobb at 5 o'clock from CBS Sports, talk some college football. We do have another Georgia reckless driving arrest.
I mean, come on. Like, what the hell?
What's it, like the 26th in a three-year period?
We were joking about the bicycles for the football team when it happened during the summer. It might actually need to happen. You are not allowed to have a car until you're a senior with a supervisor.
Yeah, get them some, what are the
birdies. The birds, or whatever they're called.
You just make them use birds.
Scooters.
Yes, make them pay for the birds.
Actually, no, those are motorized.
Yeah.
No.
Just give them a bike.
Yeah.
And then 5:30, we'll get you some picks for college football week three and NFL week two with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports, and we'll end the show with small talk. And I'll give you a couple of picks. I was actually 2-0 last week on the show. 2-0 on the show.
Generational wealth.
We had Arkansas, and we handled that for you. But 2-0 on the show last week. But we have to open right here with Thursday Night Football last night. The Bills and the Dolphins. The Bills handled business really easily, 31-10. But the story is on the losing side, I think, for the most part. Tua had a night from hell. He had two interceptions in the first half. 10 points were scored by the Bills off those turnovers in the first half. And then as soon as he started the second half, immediately threw a pick six while trying to throw it away on the first drive. Then, right after that, drive down, get into the red zone. He runs the ball, which he does not do very often. Damar Hamlin ends up coming up to make the tackle, and Tua gets concussed. And to see how he gets concussed, to see him laying out there unconscious, to see his arms curl up, to see all of the people and the O-linemen and the wide receivers that have played with him over the years just immediately call for the medical staff to get out there, how scared they are. Seeing Mike McDaniel beside himself on the sideline, kissing him on the head when he leaves the field, it's just getting to the point where everyone should have the real conversation about when is enough enough. Now, here's my true take. Let the medical people handle this. I'm not smart enough to know when enough is enough. I know that every single football player that plays in college football and the NFL has their right to decide when they have had enough. But this is now 4 concussions in 5 years. And the truth of the matter is he may pass through protocol. And I think there's a very solid chance he plays football for the Miami Dolphins again. But I think we're all in the same boat here. You watch Tua Tagovailoa different because you know how realistic and how sad this could become if he continues to have these issues. And when it happens again, we are back in these seats in sports talk, having these same conversations. And I'm worried about Tua Tagovailoa. I don't care about everybody's advice to him. He can make his decision for himself. But I think it was said very nicely by Mike McDaniel in his presser today. He told Tua that you're the quarterback of your family as well, and you have to be sure that you're there for them over the long haul. You know, when I was playing, and I know it's not that far removed, you don't think about these things. You get a concussion, you pass through protocol, you move on with your life. You don't think about when I'm 40, when I'm 45, when I turn 50, am I going to be the same person? Is my brain going to keep up with the times? Am I going to be fine mentally by the time I get to those ages? You don't think about these things. But we're hyper aware now, and that's why we have these conversations. That's why we open up these lines of communication when Tua Tagovailoa has these issues. But here's the truth of it. He needs to have real deal conversations with his family. He's $170 million worth of guaranteed money that he has to live on. That's what he has, and that will be in his bank relatively soon. And he's a very bright guy. I truly believe that. And as big as we make NFL football in this country, as much money is made off of it, as many TV ratings as we get. The Super Bowl brings in 170 to 200 million eyes per year. It's the most watched program globally, certainly in this country, every single year. We know how big it is. Football is so small in the context of life and kids and family. And that will continue to be the truth. And for him, it's going to be some real conversations behind the scenes. I don't know how they go, but I ultimately stand by this take. Let the medical professionals tell you what's real and what's not. Don't heed advice from anybody else besides you and your family and the medical staff, and then we can move forward. If you decide to retire, everyone, because of the day and age we're in, understands it. If you decide to stay in the game, I think everybody will definitely pat you on the back and say, we appreciate your service. Just make sure that you're taking care of your mentals and yourself throughout the rest of your career. Now, I'll say this for the Dolphins, not close to ideal for the Dolphins, but I think a lot of us fall short, and I hope Tua doesn't do this. We fall short, like human to human, of prioritizing ourselves first. And the truth of the matter is, you need to do that. I know you may have kids, you may have a wife, you may have a family, your parents may be getting older and you have to take care of them, but you can't be there for the people around you unless you're taking care of yourself first. So that would be my advice. And I know it's easy, I know it's simple, I know it's cliche, but for Tua Tagovailoa, I think he should prioritize himself first in this situation.
It was really scary, and I think, to be quite honest with you, I'm hoping he hangs it up, because just from everything I've listened to and read today and from doctors that have spoken on it, basically every single time you get a concussion, it's more and more likely that you're going to get another one. And this is now four since 2022, and they've been violent concussions,
yes,
too.
They've been on the very, very severe side of concussions.
Yeah, they are on the most severe side. That fencing pose that he hit last night, yep, was really scary. And I think that all of us saw it. When you watch the replay, that was like a car crash that he went in. And I think what's so unfortunate about it is that after those concussions happened in 2022, it really felt like last season, Tua and the Dolphins made it a point to not put him in harm's way. He wasn't running the football. He was getting down. He wasn't trying to get through contact. I think a lot of it was he was trying to get through the full season so that he could get that extension from the Dolphins, which he deserved and earned, and I'm glad he got
that.
Now
he has it.
And now that he has it, I'm just not sure this is worth it anymore. It's just because of everything that you just laid out. It's bigger than football at this point, and it's unfortunate that it has really taken until the mid-2000s until we really started paying attention to it as a society. But
that's,
now that we
right.
have, I think that this is the first case that I can remember where everybody's like, oh, you got to hang it. This is
exactly.
bad.
This
like
is
former
the thing.
NFL players are even saying,
Antonio Pierce, head coach of the Raiders, said, I think you should worry about your family. And
Shannon
hang it
Sharp
up.
Said, hey, man,
well,
got to hang it up.
I will give our society a lot of credit in that regard. We're now hyper aware. We're very aware of these things. And like, you know, Andrew Luck had a bunch of injuries, and he hung it up, and my gosh.
People crushed him for it.
The amount of people crushing
right.
him for it. Patrick Willis hung it up early. You crush him for it. Calvin Johnson for the Detroit Lions hangs it up early. You crush him for it. But I think when you look at some of those guys in the past, it's starting to age a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the reasons that they hung it up. You're seeing why. The why was always missing previously. Now we know. And for Tua, if he hangs it up, what I do like about the society we have as a football-watching community now is I don't think there's any way, shape, or form. Maybe there'll be a couple of people, first name, bunch of numbers on Twitter, that'll go after him. Oh, you finally get your deal. You get a concussion and you're done. Quitter, whatever. Who gives a damn? But I think most of us understand, about 90% of us would understand him stepping away from the game. And I think some people, for the most part, would applaud him for it and
absolutely.
Prioritizing his life and his family over the game of football.
I think that most people at this point, and I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but just it feels like most people are hoping he hangs it up, because it is scary watching Tua play football now, and it will especially be moving forward. I do want to ask you, do you think that this could lead to more players wearing caps?
I think that is something. Some people think it's ugly. Some people think it's uncomfortable. But you see some players wearing the caps regardless.
Right.
I think this should. If you want to prioritize your career in the NFL and make as much money as possible, maybe wearing that Guardian cap's the best thing for you. But we'll have to see that. We've had a few guys wear it this year, so it's back up. It's moving up. It may trend in that direction as we continue to play football.
To be honest,
continue to play National Football.
In all of the games where a guy's been wearing them, I haven't noticed it until they pointed out.
Yeah.
You can't really notice it while you're watching.
You pay attention close.
Well, I'm not like zooming in on every single play.
Yeah,
I'm not zooming in hands.
I'll say this. I know it's ugly, but I don't want to prioritize swag over my mental health and my brain injury. Yeah.
Right,
at the end of the day, if I was playing in the National Football League, if I was playing college football, I'd probably want something like that on my head.
Especially
if I was an old lineman or a D lineman like I was.
Well, just with everything that we have learned in the last 20 years about CTE and concussions and everything. It's because, like, I've had a concussion one time, and it was a mild one. I got hit in the head by a baseball while I was at bat. And I forgot where I was. I got picked off second base because I was standing halfway to third.
Yeah.
And then that next inning, I went out and tried to play second base. It was a double play situation. I thought there were two outs.
Yeah.
I just caught the ball on second. And my coach was like, you got it. And I can't even imagine having four of them, and most of them to the point where it knocked you out. Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. I still think, like, looking back at my days at Memphis, I never had a log concussion. I missed one game for a knee injury. 51 starts, the whole thing. Not being braggadocious, just saying.
Hell yeah.
But even those mild cases where your bell is rung, quote unquote, that's still a brain injury. That's something you need to pay attention to. And I had some of those. They were never logged. I only have one registered concussion. It was playing basketball in high school.
Really?
Got undercut, fell back, hit my head.
Oh,
and tryouts.
Still
made the team.
Talk about practice, Gabe.
Still made the team. Was the starting four, but still
knocked
my head out. And that was the only long concussion I ever had. So I'm not going to act like I have a whole bunch of experience with this, but I have seen a lot of guys around me when I was at the University of Memphis have to be medically done with football, had to medically retire because of the brain injuries they have. And you still see some of them, like, dealing with the repercussions of it, maybe not holding jobs, maybe having trouble communicating with people, being irritable, and that's something you don't want to see for anybody, certainly not for Tua Tagovailoa.
We've seen NFL players, as they age, change in real time, and it all ties back to CTE. We have seen players lose their lives because of CTE and the violence that they experience on the football field, and it's part of the game. It's absolutely part of the game. I get it. But when this has happened so many times in such a short span, and you are so young, and you've already got $170 million guaranteed, it is something to think about. So hopefully the medical professionals give Tua the correct advice. Did you hear Saban talking about it?
Yeah, he said listen to the medical people, listen to your family, have conversations.
That was Saban's way of saying, hey man, you've done everything you need to do.
I think everybody is sort of in lockstep with this. But I think for me, knowing how these things work, and the amount of competitor that is still into a Tagovailoa, you still want to open it up to make it his decision. It's still going to be his decision, but I think most of us are in lockstep. This probably should end with him taking care of his family. And to be honest with you, I know people, you know, crap all over Tua for maybe what he's done with the in the National Football League, and, you know, how the career has turned out. That guy has plenty of accolades. He's had a hell of a career. Two-time All-SEC, won a national championship, led the league in passing yards last year, has been to a Pro Bowl. Like, he has done more than enough for the game. And I think there is a point where you have to decide for yourself, hey, enough is enough. Let's move on. Let's take care of my family going into the future. Now, with this news, though, Skylar Thompson's all they have to lean back on with the Dolphins. They're just sort of blowing in the wind. I know that's not the most important thing right now. It's about Tua Tagovailoa.
It still matters.
But what do they do? Yeah. What do they do going forward? Do they go try? I mean, because they still want to compete. You have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and all these good skill positions. I know you don't have a good O-line. Your defense is solid, not great. But you are in a competitive window. What do you do? Skylar Thompson ain't the answer. I can tell you that right now. And Tim Boyle behind him certainly ain't the answer.
Is it Ryan Tannehill?
Do you go look for somebody else? Do you sign Ryan Tannehill? Do you look at Joe Flacco? If the Browns don't want to play Jameis Winston, do you see what it takes to go get him?
Do you call and see a certain someone? Do you call and see?
Who?
Tom Brady.
Oh, no. I don't think that. I think that's off the table.
Really?
At this point.
He lives in Florida.
I think that's off the table at this particular moment.
I would call.
I don't think Tom Brady would want to sit behind that O-line. Let me just say that.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Coming back at 45 years of age, standing behind that offensive line,
I mean,
that wouldn't be great.
All kidding aside, I think Ryan Tannehill would be the obvious choice, but it does sound
most available choice.
It sounds like, though, that he's asking for a pretty penny because he didn't get signed in Green Bay, and a lot of people thought that was going to happen because of the relationship that they have with his agent. And it sounds like that he was like, oh, I'll come, but you got to pay me this amount of money. Yep. And then the Packers were like, and we're not going to do that for Ryan Tannehill. So I wonder if the Dolphins are willing to pay that.
Now, on the other side of last night's game, I'm going to sound like a full football guy here, but the Bills' downfall was greatly exaggerated.
They look good.
Last night, they did things that they can replicate and win doing. It wasn't sexy at all. Josh Allen threw for 139 yards. My fantasy team felt it, right? Like, he's my starting quarterback here in the 92.9 League. I felt it. But it continues a trend we're seeing across the NFL through the early part of the season. Passing touchdown production in week one was 34 passing touchdowns. That's a five-year low. Only two quarterbacks went for 300 yards. 16 starters threw for less than 200. And everyone has wanted an explanation. And I've tried to give that explanation since Monday, haven't I, Connor? There's more too high. There's, you know, there's less, you know, time in the preseason that these guys actually play. You only have three games instead of four. But here's your explanation that I've been explaining since we reconvened on Monday. And I think Mina Kimes, I have to give a lot of credit over at NFL Live and Mina Kimes at NFL or at ESPN. She did an awesome job of explaining this. Defenses are asking offenses to run the ball and take checkdowns. And if you're not able to do that, you struggle as a quarterback. And honestly, I thought Josh Allen did a pretty good job of it last night, even though James Cook had probably one of the best games of his life. And by the way, they're finally running him on the goal line, as they haven't the past, what, two, 3 years? But light boxes have been played at the heaviest rate in the last eight seasons. Too high safety looks, the too high, maybe quarters looks, are being played at the highest rate in the last eight seasons as well. For reference, in week one of this season, 60% of the time across the NFL, they were playing two high safeties. That number 5 years ago was at 39%. People want to keep the ball in front of them. They want to limit big shots. And I thought the Bills did a heck of a job of doing that at the quarterback position on the defense side of the ball. And then also average yards per reception and depth of target are down a full yard since 2019. So getting back to the Bills, they played with the formula that gives you the best chance to win across all eras of football. I know we've been in a pass-happy and a run-happy era of football, and back in the day we did the triple option and we did the wing T and all these different things, the wishbone. But here's what wins. Win in the trenches, run effectively, limit big plays, take care of the football. The Bills did all four of those things at a high level, and they beat the hell out of the Dolphins. Football is a very cyclical game. There are trends that will leave and come back, and it continues to cycle. But there are eras, schemes, and players that change things every once in a while. But what I laid out right there, that formula, win in the trenches, run effectively, limit big plays, take care of the football, that's the plan that transcends eras. I know I sound like a crazy old lineman. I know I sound like a football guy. But we get bogged down with advanced analytics and EPA per play, no-look passes, deep shot plays, 4-3 40s. But at the end of the day, football is a truly, truly simple game. If you do what the Bills did last night, you will win more games than you lose, and you'll have a chance to win championships. And we're seeing that in college football with Michigan and Georgia winning the last three. And we've seen that in pro football. Even though the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, last year, what did they do it on? The back of their defense, on a turnover margin, on being able to run the ball effectively on first and second down to give Patrick Mahomes opportunities to keep that offense on pace every single time that they set the chains. We're seeing it all around football right now. I'm not saying that the big pass-happy game won't come back at some point, but always remember, there is a formula that transcends any era of football we're in, and that formula is win in the trenches, run effectively, limit big plays, take care of the football. Very, very simple.
it has seemed like since the second half of the Cardinals game, something just clicked for the Bills all of a sudden, because they were kind of struggling with this style that they were trying to play in the first half against them. And then when they basically just fully committed to, oh, we're just going to run the football down people's throats, because, to be quite honest, Josh Allen doesn't have anybody to throw to.
It works.
Come and beat us.
It works.
We got bigger guys.
They're running the ball in on the defensive side of the ball. They're limiting big plays. And they're turning the other team over because they run nickel. And I mentioned this how many times yesterday?
Like 1,000.
People were annoyed. They run nickel with an extra DB on the field. So they're just daring you to run the ball. Don't try to beat me over the top every play. We're going to have an extra DB out there to go cover your best receivers. So they have found this formula that I think will work for them, even though they've lost so much. They've lost so much. Stephon Diggs, Jordan Poyer, Matt Milano's not on the field. They lost Terrell Bernard last night. They've lost so many different guys over the years. But the reason they have won in weeks one and two is because they have this formula that I think can transcend any era of football you're in.
It is pretty wild that Josh Allen had 13 completions and they won by 21 points.
Yep. It's wild, but in the end of the day, if you just pay attention to what they did last night, it shouldn't be that wild.
Well, like, for instance, if yesterday on the show, I told you Josh Allen is going to have 13 completions in this game.
I said they're
going
to lose.
Every single person would have said, oh my God, they must have gotten blown out. Nope.
But he
football's
took
weird, but also simple, but also weird.
It's weird because it's cyclical, but it is a simple game when you really break it down. It is a very simple game.
How many games? So they got the Jags next. The Ravens will be kind of the first true test, I think, of can this style sustain them the entire season? Because then they got Ravens, Texans, Jets.
You can get beat up front. Don't get it twisted. You can get beat up front. There's other teams that can do this better than you.
Right.
I'm not saying they're not going to lose games.
No. But they'll win this way.
But at the same time, you win more than you lose playing this way. It's the truth of it. It's the truth. I know it can be boring, and it doesn't necessarily bring ratings. But are you trying to win ball games, or are you trying to be exciting? Right? That's the question that a lot of NFL teams have asked themselves over the past few years. And I think the best of the best have decided, yeah, let's be less exciting. Let's take the checkdowns. Let's run the football. Let's keep everything in front of us. Let's try to turn over the other team, and let's not turn over the ball.
Now, that being said, how concerned are you with their passing game?
Not particularly. You have Josh Allen. Josh Allen can still pace you. I think when you play against a really good secondary, that's going to be some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to lean on that run game a little bit more and maybe use Josh Allen's legs too. But I'm not crazy concerned about that pass game, just because Josh Allen he truly can lift up the guys around him. He can lift up the Khalil Shakirs, the Keon Colemans, the Curtis Samuels of the world. Last night he didn't have to. He will be tested as the season goes along. So we'll see how this all plays out. But I'm not as concerned as a lot of people are. And I'm not even as concerned as I was coming into the season. Because Josh Allen really is, he's a very good football player. We lose sight of that with all the interceptions and the fumbles. But he's a damn good NFL quarterback. He is a franchise changer. He's a Hall of Fame caliber talent at the quarterback position. Now, I'm ready for more NFL. And FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, is continuing its special offer to keep us watching more. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's GABEK. Again, GABEK to download America's number one sportsbook. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after your free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. If you have a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Now, we need to talk some week three of college football, how big of a week it is for the Tigers, certainly on-field against Florida State, but off-field with a lot of other Group of Five teams having marquee matchups this week. That's next. There are some pretty massive matchups that started off week three last night that definitely affect what this Memphis team can do by the end of the season. You have Texas State versus Arizona State. I'll talk about that in a second. Then I'll get to UNLV and Kansas. But two teams in the Group of Five that could be vying for that Group of Five college football playoff spot, they are in action against two massive opponents. Now, last night, Arizona State ended up going and beating Texas State 31-28. I can't believe they put 1 second back on that clock last night. That was absolutely nuts. But that was two of the four youngest coaches in America Did you Dillingham, 34 years of age, he's second youngest. G.J. Kinney, 35, he's the fourth youngest. That's nuts. And also, I will say, G.J. Kinney, the rope golf hat with the flat bill on the sideline, absolute bro. I was waiting for him to pull out his Zins from his pocket and just throw in a upper decky. But 31-28, Arizona State ended up winning. And I'll say this, Arizona State now 3-0 after two 3-9 seasons previously. They're headed in the right direction. And Kenny Dillingham, a former quarterback coach when I was at the University of Memphis, and he started as a GA, he is breathing life into that program. 3-0 heading into conference play in the Big 12. Two very solid wins, one over Mississippi State, one over that Texas State team last night, with a redshirt freshman transfer quarterback. You got to give a round of applause to Kenny Dillingham for that. That was very damn impressive. It's been very damn impressive to watch after that team last year was 3-9. And they lost to Fresno State 29-0 at home. They got beat by Utah 55-3. They let Arizona hang 59 on them. They were 97th. In defensive yards per game last year. They're now 13th through three games after playing two of the three being good opponents. And why? I think, you know, it's because Kenny Dillingham, as a young coach, understands two things. One, the transfer portal is your ally. There's some older coaches that I wish would understand that. You know, we always talk about Dabo, but there's some other coaches that need to understand that as well. And then two, I think he understands this more than anybody. You can't take your time at a Power Four program. It used to be you'd take 3 to 4 years, you'd take a little bit of time, implement your culture, get your recruits there on a 3 to 4 year recruiting cycle. Then we'd finally get a look at your regime. And then we would decide, okay, are we going to give you an extension or are we giving you a buyout? That, with the transfer portal and NIL and all these resources at your disposal, especially the Power Four, that's gone. Now, it's year one is about building your culture, and you can have a tough year. You get a little bit of leeway year one. You get rid of the ideas of the old regime. You turn over the roster because the transfer portal is going to move out, and you can move some guys in that you feel like fit what you want to do culturally. And then year two has become, like, truthfully, Connor, get to a damn bowl game. Let's go. Move it or lose it. Kenny Dillingham understands that, and you're starting to see the fruits of his labor already in year two to start the year. They have a really good shot to get back to a bowl game after starting 3-0. Now, Big 12, it's going to be a little bit tougher, but I think he can win three more freaking games in the last nine to go save himself and put himself into a bowl game. And Arizona State, you know, talking about turning over that roster, their front seven last night was really good. They were really good against Mississippi State as well. They have a bunch of transfers, and they're playing good ball. Four of the seven top tacklers from last night are transfers. Two of them from New Mexico State. He's finding them from all over the country. He's finding them from the worst programs and bringing them in, and they're playing really good football. And I'll say this, that game continues a trend for the University of Memphis. Biggest contenders in the Group of Five are losing close games against Power Five opponents. Texas State against Arizona State, Tulane versus Kansas State, Boise State versus Oregon. And then tonight you get UNLV at Kansas. Kansas is a 9-point favorite. And Kansas, this is going to be an interesting one to watch tonight. And I would tell every Memphis fan out there, if you care about their placement in the Group of Five heading into Florida State, watch this game. Kansas is coming off a nasty loss against Illinois 23-17. It was a little bit fluky because Kansas turned the ball over four times. Three interceptions from Jalen Daniels. One of those was a pick six. And Illinois usually has a good defense. But last week, UNLV hung 72 on Utah Tech. And they didn't even, I mean, it wasn't even that damn impressive as far as an offensive performance. They just played good defense. Illinois won the game last week against Kansas with defense. UNLV has a chance to do the same. They had a great game one against Houston, winning by 20 on the road. They won a ball game with 71 passing yards. And they do have some dudes on that defensive side of the ball, UNLV does. They have a linebacker named Jackson Woodard, who in game one against Houston had 11 tackles, three sacks, two tackles for loss, and a forced fumble, and a PBU. I mean, they have a really good player in Jackson Woodard. And I don't know if you remember him, Connor. Let me know if you do. Jalen Catalan from Arkansas. Do you remember? He's probably in his fifth or sixth year of college football. You have to remind yourself that he's still around, but he did play for Barry Odom when he was at Arkansas, and he was a freshman all-conference selection, second-team all-conference selection in the SEC. in that first year under Sam Pittman when they won 9 games. So he is a damn good player. He's just had some injuries that have definitely sort of screwed him over in his career. But I will say for UNLV, if they're going to get going and hold up over the long haul, it is time for that go-go offense that they always talk about to get going. They need to get that thing up and rolling. They have a quarterback named Matthew Sluka from Holy Cross who has not really thrown for a whole bunch of yards, even though they've won ball games at a very high clip through the first 2 games. But they have to get that thing going if they want to hold up and Mountain West Conference play and beat a team like Boise State, do things like that. But either way, there is a trend with the teams that we thought would be at the top of the group of 5. And UNLV and Memphis are going to have to beat it if they want to sort of stay in the driver's seat that it seems like they are in right this second. Now, getting to that Memphis and FSU matchup coming up tomorrow, I'm a little bit worried. More worried than I have been all week. You know I have called for Memphis plus 6.5. You know I've called for a potential Memphis win. But if you look at the forecast in Tallahassee going into the wee hours of the morning and then, you know, up to game time, it's raining. It's raining pretty heavily. Right now it is raining in Tallahassee, 81 degrees, but there is somewhere between a 30 to 50% chance for rain from 2 a.m. all the way till 9 a.m. before kickoff. It could be nice and sloppy by the time they get out there on the field. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think that favors Memphis in any way, shape, or form. Now, everybody was making fun of Florida State with the water guns. That may come into play here. You know, spraying the punt returner with water guns, trying to, you know, get the footballs all wetted up so they know how to play in a rain game. But I don't know if that favors Memphis very, very heavily. This is a game where, you know, you're going to have to finally open up the playbook, take some deep shots, see if you can demoralize that Florida State team. And having a wet, sloppy atmosphere where your wide receivers, experienced wide receivers in Rock Taylor and Demir Blankensy and Kobe Drake, if they can't get their footing or if the balls are a little bit too wet, I think that could definitely affect their passing game. So I would imagine early in the game you give some easy sort of now routes out to the outside, make some things happen, create a little confidence between the wide receivers and Seth Hennigan, and also run the ball. That seems like the start of the game. Try to get everybody involved and try to keep everything, you know, kind of vanilla, and then maybe open it up if you see that you're able to, you know, control the ball through the air. But the rain definitely affects the way that Memphis is going to play.
Is there like an alternate game plan for when it rains?
Not really. Not necessarily. You still want to establish a run, and we know Ryan Silverfield always wants to establish a run.
Right.
But, you know, you do have to start thinking about, you have your opening script. Once you get out of that opening script, you do have to think about how you're going to control the ball. And I think it could affect the way they want to pass the ball. I don't know if it like completely changes their game plan. If it was a complete downpour the whole game, sure. Yeah. But it looks like the rain's going to be alleviated about an hour and a half before game time, at the very least. So I think they can still take advantage of the deep shots. It's just going to be harder than we originally thought.
Right, and it has more impact on Memphis just simply because they have the ability to throw the ball down the field, and to be quite honest, not sure Florida State does.
No, I'm not sure that they do. And I will say, Mike Norvell has been very complimentary of this team, throughout the week, as he always is. I mean, he could be playing, I don't know, you know, UL Monroe, and he's still going to say, they have a chance to beat us. So he's always going to be that way. But he talked about Seth Hennigan, and I truly agree with this. This is the most well-balanced offense and the most well-balanced quarterback that Florida State has faced this year. I thought Haynes King did some good things through the air to pace Georgia Tech. Thomas Castellanos didn't have to throw the ball at all. All he was throwing was wheel routes. Seth Hennigan actually has the ability to push the ball downfield and the intermediate downfield. And Florida State's secondary hasn't seen that. And what I do expect from Florida State's defense, I think because of the athletes that they do possess, I think they'll be a little bit cocky. They're going to try to pack the box, stop the run because of what has been exposed the first 2 games. And they will cover these guys one-on-one and, you know, maybe a lack of safety help over top. You just hope that Memphis can take advantage of that, especially early in the game. Because I get the sense that they can demoralize this team. If you look at this Florida State team, 0-2 in the ACC.
Memphis can demoralize Florida State.
Yes, Memphis can demoralize Florida State. If you look at this team, 0-2 in the ACC, if you get up you know, 10-0, 14-0 in that first quarter, that team could start to fall in on themselves, start arguing on the sideline, doing things like that. Because you're playing a group of five team that normally they would expect to win, especially coming into the year, you know, AP top 10 team, you expect to beat the hell out of Memphis in this situation at home with everything at your disposal, with a bye week, that type of thing. They could get demoralized pretty quickly if Memphis puts it on them early. So I hope that that is the plan. Open up the playbook, try to figure some things out. But the rain still can affect all that.
So do you think that Norvell's going to try to make, like, Mario Anderson beat them? Is that his plan? Is that we're not going to let Seth beat us?
I don't know. That's the problem with, you know, this Memphis offense. They're balanced enough to sort of beat you both ways. Mm-hmm. And he's got to decide. Because I do think that there's going to be a very strong push to stop the run because they haven't been able to do that through two games. But at the same time, you can't ignore what's going on the outside. I think it's actually this Florida State defense is actually in a bind this week against Memphis. It's going to be more of a struggle to, you know, to decide how you're going to defend this team as than it was against Georgia Tech and Boston College, because you knew what they wanted to do. I think Memphis has the ability to keep you off balance a little bit more than those first two teams. I know that, you know, some people wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but I think that's the absolute truth.
Do you think that Ryan might come out and try to hit a couple home runs early?
I think yes, but again, the rain and the slip, maybe a little slippery out there. You got to be careful.
Because is your hope with the demoralization that could possibly happen is you get up one or two on them fast and you just see them quit? Like, yes. That's kind of what you want
to
happen.
That's absolutely what you want to happen.
Yeah.
That team could get frustrated. They're already probably not feeling great about themselves. If they have a 14-0 deficit after the first quarter or first half against a group of five team, you could see that thing start to spiral out of control. But I will say, even against Boston College and Georgia Tech, when they got these deficits and they had their struggles, they still fought.
Right.
But again, this is a different, you know, attitude. At that point, they were still ranked. At that point, they still felt like they had things out in front of them. The college football playoff, the ACC, now that's all off the table. And when you feel like you're not playing for something, that's when you start to see teams quit.
If Memphis gets up early, do you think we see a quarterback change?
I think it's very possible. I mean, you've seen the Florida State fans. I mean, they did it against Boston College. We want Brock. We want Brock. Brock Glenn from Lausanne. I don't know. I feel like a quarterback change probably.
I feel like you don't want that to happen.
You don't want it to happen, but
it feels like some juice. It might give Florida State.
You don't want it to happen, but I feel like for Florida State, if I'm being a Florida State person, if I'm putting myself in their position, I feel like a quarterback switch should have probably already happened.
Oh.
Like, because DJU, it's just, I don't know what it is about him, but now, 5 years of not being able to display, but no, truly, I'm not even trying to be funny, but 5 years of not being able to display the type of skill set that you have, 5 years of people telling you that you're not living up to the billing as a five-star quarterback, I got to imagine the confidence is as low as it can possibly get. At least with Brock Glenn, he still has that freshman, you know, confidence of not knowing what he doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like, at least he'd be aggressive. He'd try to push the ball downfield. DJU, it just feels like he is demoralized as a quarterback based on the way his college career has gone. I think there's something to that.
I'm a bit fearful of a bounce-back game for DJU or a prove-it game. At the same time, like you said, it's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years. And how many chances has he had in a bounce-back game in his career?
Is that every game?
Just about every game. He's had so many opportunities at this, and it's never actually shown through. I truly believe, as a quarterback, yeah, he's got all the skills in the world. I just think that all the confidence that he had going into year one at Clemson, I think that is gone. I think it's gone.
This is a very serious question because of what the Memphis secondary has been the last few seasons. Of the three teams that they have played, is Memphis's secondary the best that he has seen?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Because I think they could be, but they're unproven.
Right.
You know, they could be. I don't know. I don't know enough about this secondary yet. They haven't seen anybody who can really expose them. North Alabama, Troy certainly weren't going to do that.
Right.
So I guess we'll see this week, but I'm going to say no, because I think Georgia Tech and Boston College really held up in the secondary pretty well, although
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
DJU was missing throws left and right. But I think defensively, the plan, I've been talking about it all week.
Blitz.
Five and four, six-man pressures. Why not? Why not? See if he can beat you. I think there is the possibility that he can hit enough of the shots that he needs to in the intermediate deep passing game to get you out of blitzing and get you out of being aggressive. But I think for Memphis, you have to test him off the top of the game. You have to say, DJ, I've seen you through the first 2 weeks. We've watched film. We've watched loads of film. We've watched all the cut-ups on what you have done as a passer this year. You're going to have to beat us to start this game. If he does, then you can adjust. You'll have time to adjust. But I would absolutely off the top of the game say, you, number four, come beat us. So we'll see how it goes. 11 a.m. on Saturday on ESPN. And it should be a little bit more rainy than we thought. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll talk about this and we'll talk about more college football and probably a little bit of Georgia reckless driving. Another incident. But David Cobb joins next from CBS Sports.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.